to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday, beautiful Friday afternoon. This is baseball, softball weather out there. It's 60-something degrees, cold in the morning. But if you're a Helena grower, it wouldn't concern you because Helena can take care of those trees if it's really cold in the morning or really nice in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'm generally up around 4:30, and I usually run about 5 miles in the morning.
Yeah, okay.
And so my hands have been a little bit nipply the last few days.
Nipply? Is that a word?
Yeah, it's a word.
Okay.
Look it up.
All right.
What's that word you come up with? I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, it has been cold, but fortunately the trees, most of the crops are still not out, Nick. You still got to deal with citrus. Citrus is one that the cold temperatures are going to have issues with. So we're a couple weeks away from almond bloom, if not sooner than that. So a lot of stuff going to happen between now and the next 2 weeks. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Don't forget about that either.
Well, every day is Valentine's Day in our house.
Well, so, yeah. Talking to Lori, though, yeah. I mean.
She doesn't even have to get me anything because every day is Valentine's Day. Do I have to get her something?
Uh-oh. I would.
Okay.
I would. If I were you, and Lori's who she is, and I see this difference there, I'd probably show up every day with roses.
Okay.
But maybe it's something you might want to consider.
But if you're a Helena grower you're not a grower and you have any questions about your orchards out there, 559-261-9030. And who's going to answer the phone?
Tiffany.
And what is she going to do?
She's going to say hello.
And she's going to direct you to where?
She's going to ask you where you farm or where you ranch or whatever you're doing, and she's going to put you in touch with the location that best fits your geography.
I love that.
And we also have a special guest in here today, Jim Stewart. He's a former athlete from the area. Was a phenomenal football player, I'm told.
Can still play right now. Look
he
at him.
Looks like he's about 45 years old and retired, but he's definitely a former athlete. You can tell that,
yeah,
can't
no
you?
Yeah, no question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We love to have studio audio. Walter's in the house. We got great people over here today here at beautiful Fashion Furniture. If it's cold outside, it's beautiful in here. It's about 70 degrees inside. Shop your day away. The closeout sales are still going on here. This is truly, if you really look at it, the greatest furniture store in the state of California. It's really, they've been in business since 1960. It is fantastic, and I'm so happy to have it as our partner for the Zone.
Well, it's perfect for me because I get here a little early all the time, and I stay late.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go over towards those recliners, and they've got those massage mechanisms on them now. And I can sit there for 2 hours and sleep. Now, there's also a flat-screen TV up on the wall over there. So I have been known to kind of turn that chair a little bit, Nick, and maybe they watch a little TV. And I might stay here till close.
That's true, but you can get your own. Come on over here.
That's what I'm saying. So Once you experience that, I think you'd probably love to sit in that at home. You're correct.
Well, we also have the Chicos, and thank you to Mario Vitucci. Downtown, Divisadero Blackstone, he's been in business they've been here since 1956. The family and Mount Mario takes over. They also have Sean First, Sean Van Ness, Kings Canyon, Clovis Avenue. The Chicos, we got a little bow tie in, the famous bread, some salad, some chicken. Oh. It's unbelievable.
Two words?
Giddy up.
There you go.
That's how we roll. Hey, yesterday, and even the story's still going strong. Clovis West has an issue out there. Water polo coach had a little anger management issue over there, and it just got out of hand. Okay, so we talked about coaching. What is acceptable? What is not? And we even have a caller right now. Jennifer, welcome to the Zone. Glad you can call us about you want to talk about the Clovis West issue going on. Thank you.
I do. Yeah.
And what's your feeling? Okay, let's tell everyone real fast. We had a problem. Clovis West water polo boys team. Coach,
yep.
I think's got a little anger issue. said to the to one of the players, lift your head up and look at me when I talk.
A senior.
Okay. You tell everybody.
He's already going to Iona College. He's already committed, right? So he's obviously a good player, and he represents Clovis Unified, you know, well. But he shows up and he has to have stitches in his chin because one of his coaches, which, and I don't want to make this about, you know, a man-woman kind of thing, but she threw a marker at him across the room and split his chin open. How is that okay?
In my book,
if a male teacher would have done that to a female athlete or any other kind of coach would have done that to any other athlete, it would have been an issue. But I think they're trying to sweep it under the rug because she's a female coach.
Jennifer, I'm old school as you're going to get. I know the kids now are softer, the parents are softer, but this is completely out of line. If you throw an object at a player, then maybe coaching's not for you.
Okay, I believe.
Hey, the kid is not doing what it's supposed to do. Let's go run. Let's run it to death.
Right.
That's what I believe in. But if you have to lay a hand on a kid, or throw an object at a kid, I can't imagine a basketball coach. If a coach threw a basketball at Cole Anderson, what you would be doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Nate.
And what I'm going to say is, you say if you have to lay hands on a kid, she didn't. She was too much of a coward to. I'm sorry, I'm getting ugly. She was not willing to approach him because he is much bigger than she is. So she had to flail an object across the room and nail him in the face. How is that not a problem for Clovis Unified?
So, Jennifer, I don't know what the latest is. What's going on over there? I don't know the latest scoops on it.
Well, from what I understand, and I'm not going to divulge my source, but from what I understand is they're saying that because the teacher didn't approach him or literally physically put hands on him, that she's going to just be able to walk away from it. And I don't think that's right. I mean, his parents had to take him and get him stitches because his face was split open. And Clovis Unified is like, yeah, okay, sorry.
It's I've never seen anything like it. This is a strange story, but
how do you, Jennifer? How do you know so much about this incident?
And again, like I said, I'm not going to divulge my source, but I have someone who is very close to the situation that has told me what is happening, and that the family is getting shut down. They're kind of being closed out. They're like, listen, you know what? Just sweep it under the rug. Let's let it go. But I don't think that that's okay, because if you allow that to happen one time, who's to say that this hasn't happened in the past with this particular teacher or coach, whoever she is, you know? And if we sweep it under the rug now, who's to say it won't happen again?
That, well, we definitely know. We don't know if it'll ever happen again, for sure. We don't know. This is going to be an interesting story. And this could change the world of coaching. You know, parents don't like when their kids are being yelled at, and that's changed. Coaches are quitting. But this changes everything.
Right.
You're throwing foreign objects at
kids. You know what?
Now.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. My son graduated 5 years ago from UCannon, okay? And he was literally 6'7" and got thrown up against the lockers by a coach because they didn't feel like he was running hard enough. And that was an issue for me. And I brought it up to his counselor at the time, and she assured me that it would be taken care of. So I'm like, okay, you know, it's fine. They're going to handle it. It was a one-time thing, and let's move on from it. But now, having heard what has happened to this boy within the same district, it's kind of like they just want to, you know, put the parents off and be like, okay, yeah, we're going to fix it, and then do nothing about it.
Well, Jennifer, thanks for the call. Let's keep us updated on the latest progress, but I think we got a long way to go in this. We're going to get the scoop. Let's go to Molly. Molly, welcome. You are in the zone.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Molly. What can we do for you?
I wanted to call in as well on this. First of all, I don't know the validity of the stitches part, but there definitely was an injury and blood. I have two teen boys that play high school football, and they've been to several of these water polo games, and it actually became a joke to Snapchat the angry coach during games because the coach was so out of control. My two boys that play football have coaches that require a lot out of them and are constantly hard on them and tough on them to make them better players. But not once have they ever laid a hand on them. And their philosophy is you're constantly whispering into these kids' ears, you can do better, you can do better, you can do better. And then when they do need something corrected, you look at them and you tell them what needs to be corrected instead of constantly yelling at them and belittling them. I've seen some emails to Matt Loggins, who I believe is the AD. And apparently this situation was handled. How could it be handled if there was no discipline?
I'm learning this story on the fly right now. Yesterday I learned everything about it. Now I don't know what Clovis West came up with, so that's what I'm learning on the fly.
Clovis West should enroll in, you know, there's a nonprofit out there called Change the Game Project, and one of the best articles is there's no excuse for abuse. Don't tolerate negative behavior. It with the stress that's put on these kids nowadays, and so many suicides, not just from academics, but from athletics as well. And I know Clovis in the past has had an issue with that. You can't have people in the power of tearing these kids down.
It's definitely, I've never heard anything like it. I'm going to be honest with you. Molly, thank you so much for the call. I've been around Nick, and you're a father who has a kid at Clovis West. What are your thoughts on all this? You've got more scoop than anybody probably.
Well, you know, I don't know, like you say, and I think that's probably fair for both of us, and you making that comment about we don't know the ins and outs of this entire ordeal, except for it's something that took place during the water polo season, which I believe was in September sometime. But as far as the facts, I always say this, that, yeah, there shouldn't be something wrong going on. You know, if there's abuse going on, they definitely got to look into it. But until we know everything and understand both sides of the fence on this thing, you know, I've also heard a lot of comments about this coach as being a really good coach and some other things from people. So there's a lot of people I know throwing rocks that way, and there's also some people that are defending her. So it's hard for me to understand it, but that's why we have the proper people that are in certain positions to kind of sort through it. Doesn't sound like it's dead. Sounds like they're still investigating it to understand it more. So I just leave it up to them. I don't think there's a place for throwing objects at people, but I do know when I played sports, both my daughters played at Clovis West, and you know, they played for a coach that was, you know, that was on them a lot, but, you know, he didn't do anything like that, but he helped them. They're better people today in what they do because of, holding them accountable for certain things. Maybe at the time, as a parent, I might have thought twice about that a little bit, but you always got to tell how your kids end up at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to throw out there.
Okay, there you go.
So I'm not going to jump into this thing.
Well, let me give you the police report.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I'm not a police officer.
This is exactly what happened. Okay, the entire team, including the assistant coach, was present when the coach, struck him. It was at a team meeting. She was mad because he was not looking at her. He was looking at the ground. She said, "Look at me when I'm talking to you." She threw the marker, hit him in the chin, split his chin open. The parent emailed Clovis West, the incident, and the athletic director, and I don't want to get into the personal Clovis West, how they handle it, said he would investigate it, and that's where we're at. So what I'm asking as a dad, because I know you have been tough if a coach ever screamed at Cole, can you imagine if someone throws a basketball point blank and hits him in the face? I think you're in the next road out of here. I think I'm old school, Nick. Cole's not listening. Cole's not doing something. I want to run him until he pukes. That's my way of taking care of the new wave. That's how I am. That's how it would happen to us. I had the toughest coaches ever, made me a better person, but not a coach ever laid a hand on me, ever threw a – can you imagine if that pin hit him in the eye, poked his eye out? You know how lucky he is? He only cut and stitched up his chin. This is unacceptable, and now she's coaching softball at Clovis West. I don't know what's going on, but she's now the head coach of softball. Let's hope this happens. I mean, my email has been blowing up for 2 days now. And I'm not an investigator. I'm just the pag meter. But I'm just saying, if it's come down to throwing objects at players, coaching's not for you.
I get it.
You want to yell and scream and make them run all the way to the and do push-ups? Great. I love that. That'll make them a better person. But if you have to throw objects to get people's attention, then please get out of coaching. That's my 2 cents worth.
I can't argue with you on that. I think that there's different ways to go about things, and that sounds like that's one that you shouldn't. I mean, I've been on sidelines before. I've had headsets whizzed by my head, on the sidelines before. I've had snowballs thrown at me by assistant coaches for not doing something to hit me in the face mask or whatever. But, even in basketball, clipboards being slammed to the ground and breaking and shattering and pieces going everywhere. The question I'm saying is that if the intent was to actually strike that, you shouldn't throw anything. There's no question. Accidents happen all the time. But was it really the intent? Well, that's what I want to understand. Do you think this coach really wanted and had the intent of actually striking this kid?
Well, apparently this isn't the first time. I don't think
that's what
West
I don't know.
Did their homework.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And 844-940 ESPN. By the way, at about 4:30, coming up soon, the Wonder Dog, Rex Hudler.
Nice.
My old
it's baseball
receiver.
Season.
It's baseball. The voice of the Kansas City Royals is going to join us. Matty J will be here in a little while. We can talk roundtable. We got a big game tonight at 7 o'clock of high school basketball we're going to broadcast. I'm going to Clovis West, by the way, and hope everything's okay. Buchanan's in town. Big track game. Clovis West will be the number one seed, win, lose, or draw. 50-50 chance the Buchanan Bears' best player might not be in the lineup, Charlie Barnes. I'm hoping he is. He's a little injury. If he doesn't play, it's like taking Cole Anderson out of the game. He's the leader of that team, and, boy, it's like Steph Curry going out of the game if Cole Anderson doesn't play. It's going to be tough for Buchanan. They're going to have to bring their A++ game.
You never know, though. You know, sometimes you take that player out of a lineup, it's just amazing what you all of a sudden you get other people just kind of showing up. So it might be kind of neat, you know. You never know what you're going to expect. It is the track. We all know that, and there's always not a night out there that you can just take off.
And sometimes maybe Clovis West goes, "Oh, Charlie's not playing, let's take it easy," and all of a sudden they're down by 20. You know, and they go, "Hey, what's going on here?"
Yep.
So you never know.
Yep, I agree.
You know?
I'll tell you about that track, you know, just watching the whole season, and we're on the tail end of basketball season for all the leagues that are out there, but specifically because you mentioned track, and we spent a lot of time on the track just because it is your top – most of those teams up there are within your top five, I would say. You look at Central, I've got to watch all the teams, and that's one team that I have not spent much time with, and I've got to watch them play twice now. And they've been kind of on a roller coaster. They're good in some games, and we always talk about the Clovis West game, and, you know, that's the game I watched them play. And generally, you're going to find most teams are going to show up for that game, right? Nick, you've always said that. You're going to play your best game against Clovis West. Everybody wants to be Clovis West on that basketball side of things. I'm going to tell you, I'm not looking out to the future, but I am for just a second. I think Central can be really good if that team, if that group stays together out there. They're going to win some basketball games, Nick, because they're pretty athletic. And if Coach Streets can get that team together and they're working well in the summer and their junior and senior years in most cases, they're really going to be a team to be back to where you had them number one 2 years ago. They won, what, three Valley championships in a row, now called the section championships, of course. But that team's looking really good for next year, in my opinion. Two teams that are going to fall off the face of the earth, the other two top three teams, is North and East. They'll completely fall off the face of the earth. Clovis West being as young as they are this year, the entire team and losing three seniors, that team and the eighth grade class coming in. So next year is going to be a completely different group of teams, I'm going to tell you.
And a big one tonight is Buchanan girls taking on Clovis West, because Buchanan is in that fourth spot. Now, Clovis, Avery Evans is out for a while. She might not come back, and they're not the same team without Avery Evans. Again, it's like taking Cole Anderson out of the lineup, and Clovis got thumped the other day by Clovis North. So it's a big game, but if Buchanan would love to get the three seed, that means they would play Clovis North in the semis, and they won't have to play Clovis West in the semis. So that 2 and 3 seed are huge.
That's a good play right there, right?
Yeah, that is. I mean, you're battling. So if Buchanan wins tonight, I would say they would be at least a 3 seed. So it's a big game tonight, but Clovis West at home is unbeatable.
I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to say it's zero chance that's going to happen, but I always wish the best of luck. But from what I see from Clovis West girls and what we initially thought out on that team as we approached the track season, we thought they were going to get beat a couple of times, if not once, definitely, you know, looking at two games for sure. Campbell is just coaching that team like crazy right now.
And they're young and good.
They're young, and everybody thought, okay, they're vulnerable this year. They're gonna lose for sure. And you got a team like North that's brought everybody back, and you can't beat them. That's just crazy. And I think he's coaching really well right now. So you got to give him a lot of credit. A lot of people throw rocks at teams that win all the time. That's just natural. But what he's been able to accomplish with this group, especially after everybody said what they said about that group leaving last year, you got to give them kudos.
And we said, if they don't beat them this year, forget it.
That's right.
They're going to be really, really good. Well, they're really, really good ahead of schedule. Let's take a break. The Wonder Dog, my old wide receiver, Rex Hudler, is going to join us when we come on next. Don't go anywhere. Bullard Nation, Rex Hudler next on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Are in the zone on a Friday, beautiful Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us. The fastest growing award-winning show there is on a Friday afternoon. This is, of course, the Zone Show, the Pag Meter. Nick Anderson, who's stuffing his face right now with a 4 pound of salad in his mouth. But I want to thank the Chicos for bringing that big salad over. Matty J will be here in a few minutes. He's doing a little track. But it's this Friday.
I'm back.
Already fired. I got people fired up. My phone line's blowing crazy. We're going to get a hold of Rex Hudler in a few seconds. Thank you to Fashion Furniture and Helena, two great sponsors for local sports. Doesn't get any better than that.
You know, as we were talking a little bit about that and how much, just for a second until Rex comes on, I mean, Helena's really approach to this local sports is going to really start to evolve and take off and spend more time out and about some of those rural communities. I'm looking forward to really having you out there, Nick, and spending that time.
Matt and I were out at Emmanuel last night, and boy, what a great high school that is. Great game at the buzzer. Winston Williams laid it in at the buzzer as Emmanuel beat Hanford West in a great game. Great everything out there. And thank you to all the Emmanuel people for having us out last night. Great
what
game.
A wonderful town, too, out there. You get out that Reedley, that Kingsburg area down there. We've got some wonderful customers that we do business with out of there, and between, you know, all the schools in there. So we're going to be spending a lot more time out there. Look forward to that.
Oh, no question about it. That's why we like to do sports around here. Let's go right now to maybe one of the top five greatest athletes we've ever had in Fresno history, the former Buller Knight, the Hall of Famer, the Fresno Hall of Famer, and now the voice of the Kansas City Royals, my buddy Rex, the Wonder Dog Hudler. Rex, how are you?
Nick, every time I have the privilege to come on your show, especially with the other Nick, you always make me sound so much better than I really was, Nick. Come on. Look, Fresno's a big city. There was a lot of tremendous athletes that came out of there, a lot of major guys, especially in the baseball world. Tom Seaver, Dick Ellsworth, Heck, Dick Ruthven, so many great guys came before me, Nick, but I'm honored that you would think that much of me.
But Rex, here's the deal. So when we're not, this is the other Nick, by the way, just the other guy. So when we're off the air, Nick always tells me, he kind of bumps me. He always says, I made Rex Hudler. I made Rex Hudler.
He's lying.
Because, you know, he really, in his own mind, he's the greatest athlete to ever come out of Bullard High School, right, Rex?
Let me tell you about Nick. He's got a drinking issue, and he went to Cal Poly, and he's got a tattoo on his ankle.
Oh!
Enough said. Okay.
Hey, no, Rex. Nick, Papagni's right. He is right. I tell people that all the time because they go, you had 25 Division I football scholarship offers? And I go, yeah, I had a great quarterback. What can I say? Now, the only thing I could do was run, and I had good hands. I could catch the ball. But see, what nobody knew was that Nick and I grew up in the park, Tenaya Park down the street after school, and so we'd always go out there and catch passes. I knew him as good as he knew himself. And so
I knew exactly when he was going to break. I knew everything about you.
Yeah, he didn't play football, organized football. So we talked him into it when he got in high school. We said, Nick, why don't you go out for a quarterback? And, man, the rest was history. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, no question about it. You know, we were talking about let's get into baseball real fast. We're talking the Wonder Dog Rex Hudler, the whole cheating thing. I saw an interview with Will Clark a few days ago, and Will said, hey, we did everything we could to get the signs from the catcher, the third base coach. We had video on the third base. We did it all. That's just how it was. What's your feelings on this whole Boston Red Sox Houston Astro deal?
Yeah, like Will was saying, it's been around since the beginning of baseball 150 years ago, Nick. And I remember myself learning how to try to give signs from second base. You know, now technology wasn't involved. I mean, you don't have to have games on television to have tried to pass signals to your buddies. So I remember trying to do it. And, you know, all you got to do is as simple as putting your hands on your knees for a fastball and standing straight up for a breaking ball. If you're at second base and the hitter who looks through the pitcher can see you at second. Now, if you want to give away location, you just look to your right for inside, look to your left as he's going away. I mean, it's that elementary, but I couldn't do that too well. So the next time I got up, I remember in AAA, I got a rib ball, and the catcher looked at me and he goes, next time we're going to hit you in your small brain. Quit trying to get the signs, you know. So it's like, oh, I get it. So if Major League Baseball would let the players police the game like they did in our day, Nick, in the you know, before the 90s and 2000s came along, the umpires would always sit back, and if there was something that needed to be delivered, somebody get hit, you know, the umpires knew the next day, hey, look, this guy's going to get it. They would let it happen, and it would get drilled. And then that's it. Story's over, okay? But then, you know, as the money changed and the owners started complaining when some of their star players got hit, maybe in the wrist, and it broke their wrist and they're out for the season, then they made them crack down. So now when you see a retaliation, you see the umpire jump out in front and warn both dugouts. I mean, it's just a different style game now, Nick. I wish they wouldn't do that.
We're talking with Rex Hudler. Rex, I still play old man baseball. And if I had the guy at second, if I know he's stealing my signals, the batter's going to be sore on Monday morning. It's just that simple. I'll take care of it. I don't need anyone to tell me. Okay?
No, right? Exactly. It's elementary. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, the game where it's played at the highest level, now they don't let the players police? Come on, man. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. But really, Nick, but with the extreme that the Astros went to, that's way extreme. And you know what? I've already heard some rumblings that there's some Houston Astros players that have not came out and confessed or said they were sorry. There's going to be some rip balls, I guarantee you. You watch. There's going to be some guys getting drilled.
Totally guarantee that's going to happen. We're talking with the Wonder Dog, the Fresno legend, Rex Hudler. Rex, the juice is flowing yet for Major League Baseball? Because it is for me. Once the Super Bowl is over, it's baseball season.
Yeah, Nick, especially when our homegrown Chiefs won everything. They were the best team in the world right now. So, yeah, we're fresh off the parade a couple days ago. And then now the papers are going, wow, fans are going, hey, we've had so much excitement over the Chiefs. Now what's next? Oh, next week, the pitchers and catchers report. So, yeah, this city that I'm living in now, blessed, but my ninth season coming up with the Royals, is a city of champions, Nick, and it won't be much longer, and the Royals will be back in it too.
Nick, he's got my dream job. I'm doing high school, and he's at Yankee Stadium in Fenway.
Yeah, hey Rex, I'm coming out to Kansas City here in this summer. Maybe I'll run into you out there.
Oh, you got to call him.
Maybe. Heck, you got to give me a call, man. Come to the game, and I'll get you in, man. We'll have some fun, and you can see what Toppin Stadium's all about. One of the most beautiful stadiums in the land, for sure.
Yeah, look for my kid's got a basketball tournament out there this summer, so we'll be out that way. I'll definitely get your number and give you a shout.
Rex. Yeah, because you'll want to experience it here. Our ballpark's unlike any other park in the world. We got fountains out there. It's refreshing. It's such a great place. Our scoreboard in center field, it's huge, one of the biggest, and it's got a big crown at the top. Really just a great place to watch a ball game. You'll love it.
Talking with Rex Hudler, if you get a chance, you got to meet Nick's son, Cole Anderson. He's Steph Curry. He's the best pure shooter we have in the state of California. So he's got 19 offers already. He's almost up to 25 as Rex Hudler had. So it's coming.
Well, look, if he's coming out here with his old man, he is going to want to come to the best basketball school in the country, KU, Rock Chalk, man. That's where
That's
he wants
it.
To be if he's that good.
Rock Chalk, Jayhawk.
Is that where you're going for? Oh, it's a little tournament.
Rock,
we're talking with Rex
Jayhawk.
There you go, Rex.
Hey, so Rex, I don't know if you've heard the latest on the Bullard Knights. You know, the Hall of Fame dinner is tomorrow night. I'm going to emcee it. But the Bullard Knights have a new little coaching staff. Have you heard it all? Who's coaching the Bullard now?
I have not.
Okay, well, let me give you the rundown. Well, they got a young kid named Aaron Weimer, the new head coach, and he's a former UCLA Bruin. He graduated Bullard 2009. They got a guy, you remember Cal Kane? He's coaching out there. You remember Cal, right?
Uh-huh.
Bobby Waits is a former Bullard Knight. He was a lefty. I think he went 21-0 back in the 80s. And then there's two little guys you might have heard of.
Was his name Ralph?
Yeah, Ralph was your Babe Ruth coach, I believe, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic.
Okay, then there's a guy who used to coach at Buchanan, Tom Donald. I think you know Jason. He's now coaching the assistant at Bullard. And then there's another guy I think you've met before, a little guy named Mike Noakes is out helping the team out again. How about that staff?
a little guy by the name of Mike Noakes. Do you know who he is, Rex?
Those guys get to hear the old Mike Noakes stories now. Well, I remember when Hudler played center field. We moved him to shortstop, but he was focused on the game, and that's what I want you to be. He's going to hear all the great stories.
Can you tell that one story about me playing soccer and coming late for baseball?
Our broom ball? How about that one?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, but what he called me and Dave Myers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can we? That's changed. You know, we just had a story about a coach around here. He lost his temper and threw a pin, hit a kid in the chin, and they split him open. I think that's a little extreme, though.
Ooh, man, I guess so. Yeah. What we witnessed from Coach Noakes, Nick, was a professional coach. That's exactly what he is and what he was. So we benefited from that greatly. When I went on to the Yankees for 7 years, when I went to instructional league every year, their coaches and instructional ball were telling us and teaching us the same things that Mike Noakes was. And I kept hearing a bell ring. I'm going, I've heard this before. Where have I heard this? You know, circle in, circle around the ball, and get your momentum going towards first. And if you're playing center field, pick the ball off the warning track and hit the cutoff, man. Don't take a crow hop. I mean, these are all inside stuff that only a professional would know.
So how was it when and I know how it is, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When you were a kid and you got a coach, what was the best way to get a hold of Rex Hudler? Was it a coach yelling at him or one-on-one to try to pick your brain? Or how did and as I say that, how about the professional coaches? Who was the guy that really sparked Rex Hudler?
Nick, I can tell you I did a coach's clinic a month or so ago here in Kansas City, and I was asked to speak for about 15 minutes. There was a lot of coaches on, and I went ahead and shared all of the managers that I got to play for in my 21-year professional baseball career, which I don't think there's another player on the face of the earth in baseball that ever had that chance to do. Yogi Berra was my first manager. Billy Martin was my second. My third manager was a guy named Earl Weaver. And then I went from Earl Weaver to Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers, Whitey Herzog traded for me. Whitey quit. Joe Torre took over. I played for Joe Torre, then for there. And then a guy named Terry Francona had me in Philadelphia. Joe Madden for a few games with the Angels. So, look, and I told all those guys stories about each one of those managers, all those coaches. And I said, but the coach who had the biggest impact on me in my entire baseball life was my high school coach. And one of the reasons is, Nick, is that he taught mental and physical toughness. That's the one thing that's missing in our game today with these young players. They are not ready. They're not ready mentally tough, and they're not physically tough. And it's a lot of it's because they're a lot of them don't go out and play tackle football. They don't go out and play a one-on-one in the park. They don't play hockey. They're busy doing stuff, other things than we used to. We didn't have any TV. We didn't have any video games or nothing. We went out and played, and if we busted our lip, oh, big deal. Well, if we dislocated the shoulder, we popped it back in and went out and played the next day. I mean, so there's a lot of things that are different nowadays that keeps it. But I can tell you, Mike Noakes taught me mental and physical toughness.
So do you think parents and players have changed a lot? I mean, you helped with high school. Your kids went to high school. They're outstanding athletes. Has it a changing world now? You have to be different to coach anymore?
Oh, for sure. And then watching my last 20 years being on the other side, being a broadcaster in Major League Baseball, 11 with the Angels, and then now all these years with the Royals, watching the young player, I call him the modern-day player. They are different. And talking to Ned Yost, who just retired as a manager, he said, Hud, they're different than when we were coming up. You know, Earl Weaver, he used to yell at me. I remember I messed up a play, and he I came in the dugout, and he just railed me from one end of the dugout to the other and blamed the game on me and everything. And he said, if you make another play like that again, I'll send you so far back you'll never see the light. And I sat there, Nick, with my head up, looking him in the eye and telling myself, he knows my name. That's pretty cool. Earl Weaver knows my name. Instead, a lot of the guys get sensitive. They're just not used to being handled that way. It's a different game now. You got to talk to them and work them a little bit. So, but still, the athlete is a really good athlete, and they're well conditioned in baseball because most of them are focused since they were little on one sport. So we're seeing some really good baseball players nowadays.
Yeah, Rex, question for you. Since we're talking about all this new era of life, right? So, you know, all these folks that are out there that would possibly complain about a coach that would be verbally abusing them in terms of just always on them all the time. Do you think the majority of the people, the parents that are actually complaining, are the ones that actually played sports when they were growing up? Or do you think the majority of them are just kind of a wannabe athlete and they don't understand athletics as well? And most of the stars or the kids that really play a lot on the team, those parents, maybe they're coming from a set of parents that have played before. I think there's a difference there at all.
Yeah, you know what, though? I can tell you I got a pretty good idea since I left Bullard High School in 1978. I've been in professional baseball every year since. So I have a little bit of knowledge in the game, but look, I've learned how to back off. Coaches that are in that position are in it for a reason. They're good at what they do, even at the highest level of high school. I mean, these coaches know what they're doing. I let the coaches coach my son. If my son needs anything, he'll ask me. Instead of me projecting and forcing myself, I learned that just doesn't work. Back out. It's easy to be able to talk when you're not asked to talk, but learn how to talk to your kids when you're asked by them. Okay? Don't force your opinion on them, and especially in the car on the way home. I learned in Little League, and my three boys, young. When on the way home, we talked about what flavor Slurpee you're going to get. What are we doing next? Yeah, I didn't talk about what you did on the field or any of that stuff. We left all of it alone. And if they wanted to ask me any questions, they would. And I can tell you, that's the best advice I can give.
Well, this is priceless stuff, Rex. We got to take a quick break. Can you hang on? We got to keep it going. This is good stuff.
Oh, you guys got to have somebody else lined up, Nick. Come on, man.
Rex, Nick pretty well by now.
We got Aaron Judge and we got a couple other, but I want you. So don't go anywhere.
Exactly. We'll be right. Okay, Nick, I'll be here. All right.
We'll be right back. Rex Hudler, this is priceless. If you're a parent or a player, you got to listen in. We'll be right back. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You
are in the zone.
We're talking with Rex Hudler, the Wonder Dog. And I think Rex loved this music, right? That was your favorite song right there. Rex, great. This has been fantastic today, talking about parenting, baseball, the stories. Nothing like it.
Nick, thank you, man. It's always fun to talk baseball around the country, no matter who it is, but especially my own brother, my own skin and blood out there in Fresno, where I learned a lot about life, not just sports, but, you know, sports taught me a lot of life. And the high school that we went to, Nick, was just surrounded by tremendous coaching. And I mean that. That's not just some kind of lip service. You know, John Anabo, a head football coach, he had professional experience. David Justice went to Oklahoma. He was a Sooner from the words Sooner. He was unbelievable. We had all kinds. Danny Robinson was a quarterback at Fresno State. You know, We had guys that knew how to do it. Now, another thing, while I was on the break here, I had a chance to think about another Mike Noakes story. And my junior year at Bullard, where we had a really good team, I think we lost only one game all year, I was the center fielder because David Myers, a great high school player, and went on to get 5 years in the majors. The shortstop
Stanford
was a senior. Yeah. So he went ahead and, you know, he got the start at shortstop. I played center. Didn't know a whole lot about the outfield. So I remember, you know, Noakes telling me, giving me some finer points on outfield play. And one of them was, in order to throw a guy out at home, you got to throw the ball on the third base side of home plate. Okay? You know, I kept throwing, we're in infield, I kept throwing the ball to the first base side of home. The catcher would have to pick it up and then run back over and make the tag. And about the third time I did that, he took his fungo and he threw his fungo bat against the backstop, and it stuck in the very top of the backstop. And I remember we howled. You remember that, Nick?
Oh, yeah. So the great, because I remember Noakes going, Dick, can he hear me out there? On the third. Can he not hear me? You kept doing it. Oh,
get
my God. He finally lost it.
On the third base side. You know what? And those are all things now as a broadcaster that I'm able to analyze and talk about the throws that these guys make. And so, you know, that's just an example. But, Nick, to be coachable, your kids can't be arrogant. Your kids, they need to be humble. They need to act like, man, they're getting taught by the best, and always show respect to your coaches. I did that, and it's really benefited me. It gave me favor, especially manners. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. Those type of things show respect right away. And in this game, in this business, you show respect, you get respect. And I've seen it the other way around. You don't show respect, guess what? You don't get none either. That's just the way it is. So I had an advantage from an early age because I had parents that cared about me and taught me manners, and I was able to utilize those as I went on up the list. And so when I left Fresno to go in the world for the first time, I flew to New York City, and who did I meet, the first important person? A guy named George Steinbrenner, the owner of the New York Yankees. And when he came out of his office, I stood up, I looked him in the eye, I said, Mr. Steinbrenner, thank you, sir, for the opportunity to be a Yankee. I want to help you win a world championship someday. Thank you very much. And he invited me in and showed me his office and talked to me for 20 minutes. And all I said was, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir. 7 years later, he traded me and he wrote me a letter and told me why. And he said that he liked me from the very beginning. He knew I was disciplined. He knew that I had some discipline in my life and that I was polite to him. And there you go. First impressions go a long way, young people.
Real quick, Rex, you hit it spot on. I think a lot of the stuff that goes on today and the way these athletes are treating some of these coaches, it all starts at home. It all starts at home.
Absolutely. Rex, so, parents, if you're listening, look, you know, you need to look yourself in the mirror, and you need to start modeling what you want, you know, for your kid to act like. And look, just go ahead and keep the humble mentality. Look, there's always somebody better than you. My son, he's a senior in Kansas. He's the number one outfielder in Kansas. But look, that's the state of Kansas. You go to California, Florida, or Texas, dude, you may not even make the top 20. So don't be getting too high and get too mighty, because there's always somebody better than you.
Rex, thank you so much. Annette, I want to get you on before you go to spring training. Let's start breaking down both leagues. This has been great today, and thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Oh, you gave me way too much time, Nick. But, hey, thanks for letting me share, because, you know, it's fun to be able to share about things, stuff you know about. I don't know about too many other things, but I do know about trying to be a good dad and a good parent. That's hard. I've done that for 27 years, and then for the last 40, I've been in professional baseball. So I'm a blessed man, Nick, no question about it. The greatest thing that happened to me during my baseball career was my beautiful wife. And she's been so special, and one of the reasons why I was able to make it as far as I did as a player. So I'm real grateful for a lot of things.
Well, give Jennifer a hug for us. Have a great afternoon. I'm going to talk to you again in a few weeks. We'll get you back on. Rex Hudler, that's the wonder dog right there. We'll be back. 5 o'clock. We got plenty to talk about here on the Zone. 940 ESPN.
Valley's local sports leader.
Say hello to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back.
It's Friday, and you're in the Zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon here at the Zone Show, here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, River Park, the greatest furniture store on the planet. And you really just sit out in the parking lot and see what they got going here. From the Giant store here to Moe's, Mike Boom Boom Mancini, Dupree next door with the mattresses, the whole block, Nick.
I think I have a dog named Moe.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I do.
That's a new one that Emily has? You might want to pet him sometime.
Well, my neighbor loves it more than I do. But, you know, so I probably should actually let Mo hang out with my neighbor. He'd probably train him a little bit better than I would. But that's okay. Mo's a good guy.
My family doesn't let me train any dogs we have. So Teddy's off limits. I can't train Teddy.
I'll take Teddy now. Yeah. Teddy's like a purse dog. It's one of those, like, people call them kick dogs. But today they're the most popular dog around. Everybody's got these little dogs, right? And all of them are supposed to be the cutest dog ever. You see a dog, oh, my God, a little dog. You know, most of them don't look very good. You're right, they're not very attractive. You know, nobody, there's nothing better than like a golden retriever or a Labrador retriever. Those just classic looking dogs, always good looking.
There was a dog the other day broke the record, 6 tennis balls in his mouth.
Whoa!
Think about that. Broke the record at 5.
Is that a golden retriever?
Must be.
I see. There's a famous picture of a golden retriever with multiple tennis balls in its mouth. So maybe that broke the record from that poor guy.
DeChico's, speaking of eating, DeChico's is in the house. Mario Vitucci, thank you. Downtown to visit Daryl Blackstone. And Mario does a great job today. We got the salad. We got the bow tie, some chicken, the famous bread. It's almost gone, by the way.
Well, it's always
about everyone ate the bread today. Walter's all over it today. Yeah.
We've got a heck of an audience here today. Yeah. I mean, these guys are all over us, but they're giving us a lot of good pointers. We're making some mistakes, and we're getting some good feedback, I think.
How good is Rex, though, with the great stories?
Rex is spot on. He's lived it. He's one of those guys that you say, hey, you know, he's lived it at every level, you know, lived it at the high school level, college level at a high degree. And how many people play in the major leagues and for as many years as he did? Plus, he's been announcing for the Kansas City Royals for what, going on 8, 9 years
nine
or
years.
So. That's crazy. That's great. What a great, great career that he's had, and that says a lot for him. And he definitely loves to come on the show and talk to us. and always says good things about his time in Fresno and Bullard High and all the rest of it.
He called me one time when he was in Anaheim because he knew I was going to do a high school game on a Friday. He goes, "Hey, I'm doing a big game tonight. Here, I got someone I want you to talk with." And he put Albert Pujols on the line. I'm like, "What are you rubbing
Who?
In?
Who's this guy?"
I'm like, "Really, Rex? Just rub it in. I'm over here doing high school, and he's at, you know, next week I'm going to Yankee Stadium." He's living the dream.
Definitely going to hit him up. It registered my brain about back there, and it'd be great to go to the ballpark. And if he happens to be there that time I'm there, it'd be great to go check it out.
He will be there, and I've never been to Kansas City. I always meet him up if it's either in L.A. or San Francisco or Fenway when Gianna was there. But the crowd, the people love him. They follow him around. He's just one of those kind of guys. Let me ask I wanted to bring up, too, because it looks like Bakersfield and Kern County, because Nick's our basketball guy, and Matty J's on his way in, they're having their little Kern County basketball city championship starting February the 8th. Your thoughts on this, boys and girls? You don't like it?
Well, no, I don't like it. I think I stated my opinion on your little tweet that you retweeted earlier.
No, that was personal tweets. I want to know why. And it's going to be
So my question is, okay, that's great. I'm glad they're doing that. Why are they doing it?
No, if you're glad you're doing it, why are...
No, I'm glad they've got a plan or some kind of an event, but I want to know why they're doing that.
Well, I'd like to hear from Bakersfield Kern.
What are you ultimately trying to accomplish by having a city tournament this time of year?
I want to hear from the Bakersfield Kern area, if you can. I want to know. I think it's fantastic. Because you know why? It's basketball. Kids want to play basketball. And the small schools, you know, if you look at like Miramontes of the world, the Highlands, the Tehachapis, say, you know what? I could compete with the Bakersfields, the Liberties, the Southwest for just a week. Let's give it a shot. They're getting some extra basketball in. I think it's a fantastic idea. We're going to find out the best team in Bakersfield.
So what happens if you don't do that?
Well, I could see. I got a lot of Twitter going on, but it was always the big schools who have the million-dollar budgets. Clovis West has $1 million budget. They go to Hawaii anytime they want. They got their own Learjet.
Whoa, you can
go anywhere. What's wrong with the small schools?
Anytime
playing basketball
you want
down the
is
road?
Not the answer.
I'm just saying, what's wrong with a little team going down the road and playing a bigger team? If you're a smaller school, I think it's the greatest idea ever.
So wouldn't that happen like during the preseason and you have these tournaments and things? What's wrong?
Maybe they couldn't hook up with everybody. Maybe this was the only time they got together and said, you know what? The only time we could play is the first week of February before the playoffs. I don't know.
I'm not opposed to things like that. Trust me. I've been around the sport a long time, and I'm just curious on what exactly they're trying to accomplish with it. And I understand where you're coming from, and well said, my friend. But this time of year, that's the question I have. And now, if this is an inaugural thing and things change next year, maybe they do something differently. I just don't see what the outcome, what they're ultimately trying to accomplish.
844-940-ESPN is our number. Call Bobby Boy in the studio. He'll hook you up. If you're from Bakersfield, Kern Valley, I want to know because this is all brand new to me as well. And I don't know anything about it, but I want to learn about it.
Well, you said you didn't know anything about it, but then you acted like you think
but
it's
I
great.
But I like the idea.
Okay, well it's an idea. Then at that point, it's an idea, though,
yeah,
right? Okay.
I wasn't at
so
the
we're
meeting.
both in the same little fence post there. We're both talking about something. We don't have all the facts.
But I like it. You don't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said the timing of it's strange.
Maddie J likes the bow
like
tie
that?
Pasta.
Yeah.
Come on over, Maddie. I want to ask Matt if he likes the
Well,
idea.
He'll probably agree with me because he's generally – I mean, that's what
guys show.
Football
so,
guys generally
Matty,
do.
Kern County and Bakersfield are having a basketball tournament. They want to find out the best of the best, and they're having it right now. And Nick and a lot of Clovis West people say they hate
well,
the
well,
idea.
Whoa, whoa, okay, wait. Time out, Trojan fans. Time out. Okay, here's what we're going to make sure we get out on the tail before we get any further here. Didn't ever say anything about Clovis West.
Didn't hear.
I made my opinion. Nick Anderson, not.
I did
Clovis
not hear
West.
That.
Yes,
Tag is stirring that up.
Of course.
My question is, I don't know if you guys brought this up yet, but let me throw it out there. Why?
No,
I think Nick Anderson said that. Why?
Thank you.
Why not?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to at least point out a couple things. Now, obviously, what's a great thing, by the way, in this show is that you've got the the living legend of Nick Papagni.
Bullard High School.
Bullard High, the quarterback, he came from a national championship baseball team. works his tail off to bring sports all over the valley from all levels of sports. You got that in one corner. You've got Nick Anderson, who's lived through the daughters, now his son, Division I college basketball, kids in the family, his wife, very athletic family, and he knows where he's coming from there. And then you've got me, your little sidekick, played college football, got a son recruited in track and field. So, and then you've got friends. I've got Salisbury. You've got Rex Hudler. This is the greatest show in town.
And I've got Nick.
And you've got Nick. But the reason why is this. In football, could you imagine? First of all, isn't there some restrictions? How many games are these kids allowed to play by CIF rules number one?
Well, maybe they didn't play any game. That's the thing. But here's the thing, and I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem, but to me it looks like some kind of a city tournament. So these type of things should be played preseason, well, Matt.
Yeah, but yes. Now, Pagmeter threw out there, they have a city. What does that mean, a city tournament? Let's find out who's the best in our city of Bakersfield or the county?
Kern County.
Kern County.
Putting them all together.
Okay, Kern County. And we're talking, isn't it?
The big school.
The Road to Selma Arena coming up like next week?
That's
what are we doing?
Well, what you're doing is you're in it again. Anybody out there, I know I'm a great target for darts, okay? But I've got thick skin. Doesn't matter to me anymore. If you're looking for that white ribbon, that's the way I see this right now. Nothing against the kids. I think it's great for the kids to play as many games as possible as long as they're within that structure. And taking a look at alternatives, no question about it. But are we really looking at having a city champion, or are we just trying to buy ourselves more games because you're not going to be on that road to selling that long?
Very good point. Could very well be. Still, I would love to hear from Jim Critchlow, because I know in the world of high school football, we are only allowed 10 games max. And then we play the playoffs.
Right? 28 to 30.
Well, I don't know.
Before playoffs, right?
Well, I'm looking
so many
at
games before playoffs.
Before playoffs. Yes.
I'm looking at Bakersfield High School for the girls. They're 22-2. That's 24 games. They're 10-0. The season's over. So do you want them to sit for a whole week and not play a game?
But once again,
you're
talking about a tournament for the crown of the city. There has to be limitations. So are they going to allow 36 teams to show up? How many schools are allowed to get into this?
They're on there. They're listed.
Everybody's in the draw.
Have you researched Pag's Twitter account today?
Yeah. Not really. I try to stay away from it as much as I can.
So what I'm saying is,
I can't sleep when I read his stuff.
Buchanan, and by the way, Wednesday, San Jose State plays Fresno State women's basketball.
Okay, so does
even our own station know that they have two outstanding players coming to Fresno State with Megan Anderson and
Well, you know what's really cool about that, and I'm glad you're bringing that up because it is a good topic, and I'm gonna leave here in a little bit after we get this show going because I got a place to go to here pretty quick, and I want to make sure the set's up to speed.
And I would like to thank not just Fashion Furniture for all they do local and helping, but please bless Helena Agri Enterprises for allowing you and I and people like us to go out to these local communities. Reedley, this Emmanuel Hanford West game we did last night, Nick.
I was good with
brought
that
to you by Helena Agri.
Yeah.
Just to allow us to get out on the road and spread the cheer and the fun and getting schools like Emmanuel and Hanford West exposure, great hospitality. And if we didn't have Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, helping to secure those kinds of deals, obviously Nick Anderson to your people in your offices and nationally speaking, that is a great service that Helena is giving back. And that is not that is an unsolicited endorsement on my part, because as I sat there at Emmanuel last in that gym and getting the tour from the great Freeze and show me the turn, that was so nice. And I'm thinking to myself, this would never have happened if we didn't have somebody stepping up to try to bring us basketball, whatever the sport might be, but bring those kinds of events to our community. And most importantly, to those young student-athletes that got to see the PAG meter and take pictures with you and say, you guys are here, thank you. I wanted to thank Helena for that. And we're going to get to
thank you.
What you're yes, absolutely, Nick Anderson, the voice of Helena, by the way. I love your commercials. The big thing that's coming up here, we talked about it last night, is two national champion local products that happen to play at San Jose State. We are Bulldog fans. This is our community. But let's not forget, people, go on out and support what we've got going on. A great basketball team in Fresno State playing against a team that's fighting for that same Mountain West championship with two local phenoms representing the Spartans. This is going to be a great night of basketball.
We'll come back and talk about it. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is The Zone. It's the Pag Meter. Big Cat Nick Anderson. Of course, Maddie J in the house. Maddie, so much going on. But the weather. This is baseball, softball, track weather out there.
It's great weather. Had a great track workout. That's why I come in at this time. Cannot let the young runners, male and female, go home for a weekend without having any solid. This is our work day.
And if you're a tree, if you're Helena grower, or if you're not a grower, you have any questions, this is the time to call Helena, 559-261-9030. We're here at the fabulous Fashion Furniture Studios. And a lot going on. We had a very hot topic hour with the issues at Clovis West with the coach. We got over that.
Yeah.
You can call Bobby. We had Rex Hudler.
Driving in north here from Madera down here to Fashion Furniture. Got a chance to pick a little bit off of the Rex Hudler interview. By the way, great interview. Love Rex. And this is what stood out to me. And I think this is what's important. Although a lot of what he talked about, but this is coming from a man who's played professional baseball for so many years, played baseball in Japan professionally, he's played everywhere. What a great story of perseverance and the kind of stuff that I like to teach our young men and women, for that matter, in the world of football or track and field. But here's what stood out to me in that interview, and this is what everyone needs to take in. He talked about from Earl Weaver. These are Hall of Fame Major League Baseball
might have heard of them.
Managers he played for. And down the list of all these great managers. But the one that he said that made the biggest impact was his high school coach. For Rex, that's Mike Noakes. His high school coach made the biggest impact on him in his life. Well, for all of us who happen to be in this world of high school coaching, and you were over there making, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but talking about how you got on the phone with Albert Pujols and, wow, he's living the life, and here you are doing high school. Don't you ever talk down about the idea of bringing high school to the radio, bringing high school on your website, to your Twitter, and paying tribute to these young men and women in the world of high school athletics. Because when you got a guy, Rex Hudler, with that wealth of experience in the profession, has never left the game of sports, never left it, ever. And he relates back to his high school coach as the influencing factor in his life. I swelled up with my eyes. I teared up a little bit thinking that's the kind of impact that coaches, not just high school, but youth coaches and everywhere around, we make huge impacts on young people's lives. And that coming from Rex Hudler, that was all I needed to hear in that interview.
And that's why I respect you so much. From your Edison days all the way to Madera South, you have affected so many great kids. You've made their life better. And because you're a coach, I always say Matt is a coach, of uncle, a counselor, their best friend, everything they need, because sometimes they don't have it at home.
I'm one of thousands, though.
Yeah, but not, I
know
y'all.
You're right. You're good at always somehow turning it into me and my self-endorsement. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there are so many that happened to be on this story was Mike Noakes. He could have picked out anyone. Well, let me tell you, Nick, I learned something very good from Manager Ferguson.
Billy Martin?
No, Ferguson was one of my great. I had his baseball card when he was little. Not Joe
Fergie?
Ferguson. That's the one of his managers was somebody that I respected.
Earl Weaver?
No, Earl Weaver we know about.
Billy
Baltimore
Martin?
Orioles. No, Billy Martin.
Forgot who he said.
No. Yeah, anyway, but one of the managers, I believe, Ferguson. And I fight for me if
no,
his
Ferguson.
First name escapes me, but maybe it wasn't Ferguson.
Yeah.
Either way, the name recognized it. Wow, he was coached by him.
He had Yogi Berra as his first.
I had a baseball card of him. So, point being, he goes back to his high school coach. If you don't believe in the power of high school coaches, male or female, with the power of what we wield, how you can mess it up or you can help enrich a young person's life. And late recently, yesterday, we talked about a situation, what's too far? Screaming and hollering at a young athlete is, where do you draw the line? What's too far? Whether it was a pen, a dry erase eraser, I don't know what anything was, but you can't be throwing stuff at kids because that could leave an indelible mark. Whether that kid is too, what people say, oh, come on, it was just. But if that made an impression negatively on a young kid, then it's wrong. That's the world we live in today.
I agree. And if you have to start throwing things at players, coaching's not for you. I'll say it again. I mean, one thing about Noakes, and Rex brought up a lot of new stories that you start thinking, he might tear you up, but I mean rip you up, but he's going to bring you back. So
yep.
once he He might yell at you for something. He's going to get you aside and go, hey, keep up the good work. I want you to be. Those are the kind of coaches. You don't leave it hanging.
And so when Rex Hudler said to you about, Nick, tell the story about when I played soccer, or and then Coach Noakes found out about it, are we talking about the broom, the broom hockey, or a soccer story? Was it just the language? You can't relay the story because you jumped out of that right away and you didn't answer his question.
Well, Rex was always a soccer player growing up.
Yeah.
He was a phenom. He could have been, and this is, and I thought about it too, he would have been the fastest kid in the city back
yes.
in the day, but
yes.
we didn't do the same sport in the same time. But Rex was a soccer guy, and he really put a lot of time in the soccer, and Noakes was like, You're never going to be playing professional soccer. You know, he's giving one of those funny stories.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny that we just started laughing the way he yeah. was telling the story.
Yeah.
That's all. We didn't want to get in. He called him a few names here
okay.
and there. But it's
– I get it.
Okay. You understand. But that's how it was. But I can't imagine if Noakes 8 feet away threw a baseball and hit us in the face or something. That would have changed everything. I lost respect
yeah, even,
for him
yeah,
back
even,
then.
That's what
over.
I'm saying. Even back then, and that's kind of the other part of the coin is that both you and Rex are relaying how maybe the athlete in today's game is not as physical, not as strong, not as willing to take up with some of the abuse. And maybe that's not necessarily a good or bad thing, but that's what Rex is relaying is that they coach him differently. And that's kind of what some of his mentors and coaches were telling him, boy, the way we were brought up in baseball, these kids aren't tough at all. But where do you draw the line? As I told you yesterday, I don't care if it was the greatest coach in the history. If somebody is going too far, whether that was 1930s to today's game, you recognize that as a young athlete. You know, sometimes we went home and our parents were on us too. But it left a mark. It left an impression negatively, in my opinion. So when you ask any of the people that I played with, what coach do you most admire in bringing you to the point of being a professional athlete, there's not one coach on anyone's list, including mine, that was a coach that went too far with it.
Well, so
they
Matt,
knew how to reel it in. As you said, Mike Noakes knew how to reel you back in and say, yeah. look, not just flip off the handle and go after you. I can't think of anyone that you would truly admire in that case.
You played little league all the way up, and you were played at the highest level from the NFL to college, high school. What's that one coach go? You know what? If I ever coach, I want to be like him. Was there anybody in your life?
Oh yeah, there was several, but there's two that come to mind, and I feel bad because I can't relay it to my high school coach. He would be in that list, but no question, it was John Robinson, and then with the Seattle Seahawks, Chuck Knox.
And what did
Chuck
they do
Knox
so great?
Personable to everyone. Understood that everyone comes from a different walk of life and everyone cannot be treated exactly equal. And his stories and the way he would address the team were based on his life. I try to pride myself in being a storyteller. Shocking, right? When I talk to the kids, I like to relay that to, well, you can go there, but I can go there along with you because I had issues. My mother was an alcoholic, growing up in a family at times where the police had to arrive on my doorstep, and we had to cry, the boys, the brothers, my brothers, we had to go in our rooms and cry ourselves to sleep as the police were downstairs conducting business in our home. And my mother and father, I'm happy at certain parts of me to say they're still together, but we went through that crisis moment growing up as a kid. So I like to relay those stories, and that's what Chuck Knox did. And these are professional athletes with the Seattle Seahawks, but he would bring the story to a point, but he'd relay it with life circumstances, and he would understand that everyone has issues. But between the lines, we got to come together and we got to go bring it today because that other team you're getting ready to play doesn't understand, nor do they care about the troubles you're going through in your personal life. And he had a way of bringing people together. I guess you would call it like what Chuck Knox, John Robinson, of course, now a friend of mine, Pete Carroll, they are personable. You can sense that they truly do love you, that they're trying to do best by you. In today's world of what we talk about in coaching initiatives, being transformational, they're a transformational coach, and I think everybody loves them. Mike Noakes, clearly, by listening to Rex Hudler, and now, of course, knowing you for all these years and knowing you, Mike Noakes was a transformational coach. Did he have some moments where he'd blow it up? Yes. but he was trying to directly change your life for the better and give you the discipline necessary to have a wife and a family and make it in this world. And those are the coaches I love.
There was a story last night in New Jersey I sent to you.
I saw it.
Where the players just chased down their coach and beat the tar out of him with people filming it and laughing.
Yeah. And what did I ask? I told you, back up. Then you sent it to me, but I said, back up a minute. Is the coach down on the ground rolled up like a pill bug? No, he was on the ground rolled up trying to protect himself.
Yeah.
I operate high school football, 40, 45 kids. Bring them all together. JV's, freshmen's, were over 100 kids. If my high school football team tried to jump me the way that basketball group jumped that coach, I might take one or two of them out, but they're going to get me because that's just too many. But I'm going to go on public record right now. Not that I condone any of this behavior, but if I'm the basketball coach and my 10, 11 try to jump me and they're high schoolers, I'm taking a few out and then I'm going to hold one up and let everybody know. Does anybody else want to continue with this? This coach was down on the ground. And it's amazing to me not knowing all the details of how anybody could take advantage that way on somebody without anybody jumping in to help.
That made me sick to my stomach. And what made me even more upset is people were filming it and laughing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that. These last 2 days we've had stories I've never even heard of.
Well, we don't know. In all honesty, once again, you get snippets. That's the media. We're going to take a break, but that's the media world that we live in today. You get these little snapshots, and we all develop our opinion. Then we're going to roll the tape back and find out that maybe this guy was assaulting one of the player's sisters, or maybe he was caught. He's like the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez,
that
on the side.
Everything.
And they finally found him out, because it wasn't on the basketball court, by the way. It was in a neighborhood late at night. What was he doing?
That changes
we don't
everything.
Know. Thank you. Let's take a break.
Let's go. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Zone. The Matty J, Matt Johnson's in the house. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You are in the zone on a Friday afternoon. It's a Pack Meter. Big Cat Nick Anderson and, of course, Matty J here. Thank you to Chico's, First and Shaw. Downtown Mario Vitucci, who also has been, you go downtown, Matty J, you know you're going to see Mario Vitucci, and also Kings Canyon, Clovis Avenue, and Sean and Van Ness. There's nothing like the Chico's, that famous bread or what?
Oh, it's just fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Fabulous, no question about it. One thing, Bobby Boy back in the studio, Rex Hudler today joining us. 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to be heading over to Clovis West. Buchanan, now, there's a chance that Charlie Barnes might not be playing.
Oh,
he's got a little illness going. He's 50-50. If he doesn't play, Buchanan's in trouble.
Yeah. That's too bad. I haven't seen Charlie play but once this year, early in the tournament schedule. But that's too bad. I hope he's okay. Yeah. I like Charlie.
Now, back, we're talking a little bit about the Bakersfield, Kern Valley. Am I getting some texts and messages in? Their season's been done. So the track is playing today and next week, or most NYL and all of it are playing next week. So they have really no games. It's not a bad idea. They put together at the end of the
year. That's
a
pretty big field, though. So you play one game,
and you go
to the next bracket,
yeah,
and you play another game, so you can actually get four games in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I was against it just from the value of, wait a minute, because I'm thinking of a massive tournament before another tournament, and how many games are you allowed to play? But they clearly cleared it through the CIF. They know what's happening. So in that respect,
you're okay.
It's kind of like in track and field here in the Valley. Walter knows this. We always finish early, or we used to. We're trying to fix that. And then everyone else in Southern California, Southern section, still running through all their preliminary regional masters championships, if you will. And then they come up and they're fresh and they're all dialed in and they come up for the state meet and they're ready to go. We've been sitting for 2 weeks trying to keep that razor's edge, you know, sharp for a competitive strategy. And I could see where a basketball organization, Bakersfield, would say, look, we've been sitting too long. Let's get some extra games in for our top teams. It's really not going to matter at the highest level because I don't think they're going to have an open representative. But for some of the other teams to get another game in because the season's probably going to be over once the Valley Tournament begins, probably a good thing.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that.
Except for Bakersfield Christian. I think they've got a legitimate shot to go very far, if not all the way to Celand Arena and win a title in their division.
And, of course, the Open Division might have a little layoff, too. They're trying – I mean, it could be another week off before they play the semifinals. So there'll be a lot of time off in the open division, where the rest of the division, they'll be playing right away. This is, we mentioned Wednesday, Fresno State plays San Jose State women's basketball for the Mountain West Championship. And it's the same night that Clovis West will be playing in the track. So what's going to happen at 5:30 once that game's over, Clovis West girls basketball, get in the car and head over to the Save Mart Center and watch Clovis West play, our former Clovis West, Sean, Megan Anderson, and Danae Marquez play. That's what you got to do.
And let's get those names down and so everybody understands. That's Danae Marquez and Megan Anderson. Clovis West, all-time Golden Eagles, state champion, national championship teams. They're coming back home. Should be a very good, loyal following of Bulldog fans and, of course, not necessarily Spartan fans, but let's go support Megan and
Danae Marquez.
Danae Marquez. So let's go out and get that done.
I was listening to Tony's show before this today, and they were talking about recruiting and at Fresno State, and how, you know, it's a catch-22 because a lot of the big schools have such great, they're just better when it comes to facilities and everything else like that. So as a coach, how does Fresno State counter with that? They don't have the great facilities, but Coach DeBoer and everyone's got to still go out and recruit. Tell me that.
Commensurate with the level that they're at in a Mountain West conference, Colorado State invested a bunch of money in some new upgrades facilities. You know, Boise State's put money in, but that's over played out and talked about. We have great facilities here. Are they up to speed with Alabama or Oregon, Texas A&M of the world? No. But we're not trying to go get that type of recruit. We're trying to get the best of our recruit. What we have going for us in Fresno is our brand is pretty solid. You know, New Mexico has no brand compared to ours. The only brand, matter of fact, in the entire Mountain West Conference is Boise State in football. Our brand, I would argue, in basketball is stronger than Boise State. Our brand is stronger than most of the schools in all sports in the Mountain West. We have to find money. We have to always continue to upgrade. We have to upgrade the football stadium. If nothing else, we cannot allow the climb of Half Dome every football game from lower seats up to the snack bar. I just physically can't handle that. And I'm not the only one. That is a hike to get to your seat. So they have to find a way to make it more accommodating for the spectators to get to a different level where snacks are at instead of climbing, you know, the 600 stairs straight up and down. That is a haul. But we have good facilities at Fresno State. How many schools in our conference or in the second tier of the big schools that we represent have a Save Mart Center? Truly, how many schools have that?
No.
Not many that I know of. So, and that includes the big boys schools. So I think that there's always opportunities to get more money in the budget, to pay coaches a little bit higher salary, to continue to pay coaches where they don't have to jump the first job that comes along because they can get $100,000 a year raise by going to a bigger school. Maybe we can find money for that kind of stuff. But short of that, we're going to get the recruits that want to come to Fresno State. We're not going to get Kendall Milton, a five-star, four-star guy. It's just very rare that ever happens, period. But we're not the only ones who deal with the same deal. I mean, no one's going to Air Force Academy that had a five-star rating. They're making football players out of, and basketball players out of the players they get.
Well, my idea to bring a little more money in, and I don't know if people even thought about this, but we are in the middle of California. And when you get a big, I don't know, I'm just going to throw some names. Taylor Swift, if she's playing at the Staples Center and she's going to fly all the way across to San Francisco to do some more concerts, the majority of these people like to stop in the middle to make a lot more money while they're driving through. Why aren't we having some big concerts at Bulldog Stadium? Yeah. Can't we have four, five a year, pack 40,000 people out there to see Taylor Swift, make a lot of money? I don't understand.
I agree. There has
what am I missing?
What I think we're missing is I think this arrangement that Fresno State Athletics, the radio broadcast partner, which happens to be this station, has, this whole Learfield sports thing, whatever their racket is, their hands are in it. The entire Save Mart Center, the company that manages and organizes that stadium, it's not owned by the Fresno State, so we don't have the licensing to do whatever we want to do. Bulldog Stadium, specifically Jim Sweeney Field, probably has a little different arrangement, I'm guessing, than Save Mart. I'm with you.
But you really don't know.
The ancient art form of outdoor stadium concerts, what has happened to that? There, to me, is what am I missing? Is Matchbox 20, who probably isn't even around anymore, are they charging too much money to get their services? How much is it going to cost to bring in Keith Urban and Taylor Swift? Because people are going to go.
Can you imagine?
And they're going to pay big money to get that ticket.
You don't think 40,000 would show up if Garth Brooks showed up? And that goes to Fresno State, if they own the stadium. Okay, I just don't understand. You set the stadium on AstroTurf, field turf. Is it going to hurt the field? No.
No. I think the concert idea of promoting a concert and getting an act that is good enough to where you can, if you bring a good act in, by the way, I don't think there's ever been a better sure bet. I think the finances that it takes to actually secure the services of a big-time act, you've got to be solid. You have to probably have a real good debt credit rating because the act doesn't want to get shanked when they come out here and not get paid. But if you bring in the right act, what am I missing? It's a guarantee we're coming.
Yeah.
A guarantee we're coming. Period.
Okay, you heard it first. You're on 940 ESPN. We promote, and I would love to sit outside on a great spring evening and watch a nice big concert.
The best music concerts I've ever been to for experience are in the outdoor. And did they stop doing that? Red Rock has them. They do them. You know, I watch the music channels and everything. I see they're still doing outdoor concerts.
How about out at Coachella? Isn't that outside?
Yeah, exactly. But maybe they're not doing the big stadium arena shows like they used to with the Police and the stuff I grew up with, going to see the B-52s.
I'm sure they're
at
still
Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego.
Greek Theater in L.A., I'm sure that's still pumping.
I think that would actually be a pretty good fundraising opportunity.
Yeah, it's going to help Fresno State out. And there we go. We don't have to
It's really too bad that we don't have anyone like a big-name band that just happened to be the founding fathers. Let's say if it was, you know, this would be too big, obviously, to ask, but just think of something like the Eagles, you know, that before Glenn Frey died and Don Henley and all that. What if they were like Fresno State alumni and they wanted to come do a sponsored deal to raise
money
for...
Don Henley was from around here,
by the way.
Aunt or uncle or something.
To do something like that. I know we had out of Tulare from Journey...
That was from Hanford.
Steve Perry. Yeah, Steve Perry. I know that. That'd be great if we could find who is that big entertainer who has ties to the Valley and say, look, you give me $100,000, I'll show up. And we get the rest of the profit.
You know, last time I checked, we're outside in the fair when they come.
Yeah.
You know, whoever shows up at the fair.
It's a good idea. So it's actually a good idea, at least worth exploring.
Well, I see. The reason why I brought up the recruiting, Coach DeBoer's got a great staff. I'm not saying anything wrong. But if you look at Arizona State, you got Marvin Lewis now, the D coordinator, along with Herm Edwards. He's saying, you know what, we're going for it. Antonio Pierce, they got NFL guys can walk into kids' living rooms.
Here's what I've always
this
said.
This is our idea.
Thank you.
Okay.
I've always said, love Kalen DeBoer. Got a chance to meet him. He gets out in the Valley. He recruited when he was here as a coordinator. Great demeanor. A real class guy. Love Kalen DeBoer. And I don't know as much of the new assistant coaches, if at all. They're probably great guys. I've always been a fan of, if you've got a big-name guy out there that wants to get into the coaching ranks, Fresno State did it before with Tim McDonald. If you've got a Corey Hall or somebody that wanted to get into the deal that you know has an NFL background, you don't have to pay the guy anymore because he's just trying to become a coach. So he has to fall in with whatever the going rate is. So for Arizona State to secure the services of Antonio Pierce as one of the co-deed coordinators, great NFL experience, for them to secure the coaching staff that they have, you don't have to pay the big-name guy anymore. But the big-name guy brings more value to your organization because he walks in the living room and is like, wait, that's – oh, my goodness. Is that Odell Beckham? Yeah, I'm the receivers coach now at Purdue. Oh, my God, Dad. He's going to automatically – gain value to the family because this is a person that's going to lead you through the ropes and navigate you potentially into playing professional football.
Well, let's tell us a little story, because when Matt and I were doing this show, we had his friend. His name was Tim McDonald. You all remember him, the former Edison super, maybe the greatest player to ever come out of this section is Tim McDonald. Played for the 49ers, Arizona Cardinals, USC Trojan, everything. Well, the old coaching staff at before Jeff Tedford, we all knew who that is. The staff was shaky.
It was, right? Yeah.
You and I came to our friend and said, hey, why don't we get Tim McDonald on that coaching staff? It was like pulling strings, teeth to get him on, but he did come on.
Well, yeah, but it goes before that, though. It goes before that. Tim expressed an interest to get into the world of coaching, specifically college and wherever that led him to go, wherever that was going to take him. Coach Pat Hill's staff, who needed a defensive back coach, they just got rid of their defensive back coach, had an absolute need. The discussion was brought up through Coach Hill and myself about why not Tim McDonald. He threw his hands up like, we would never get Tim McDonald to coach here at Fresno State. It's ridiculous. Long story short, that didn't happen. I.e. Coach Hill now, is the reins are turned over to Coach DeRuiter. He's in his infant stages of coaching. He hasn't even started here yet. You brought up the idea. You were talking to someone that we know on your little crawl thing you do, out of the limousine deal you were doing. And really, so we got the ability to make link with different names and people of Bulldogs to link forces with Coach DeRuiter, who was the interim coach at Texas A&M at the time, to at least have a meeting between Tim McDonald and Coach DeRuiter to think about coaching on the staff as an assistant defensive back coach. That happened. You were instrumental in that. I took it from there. We worked together with others involved in that. Rob Saroyan, I don't want to get too into the details, but we put that deal together.
Well, the reason why I brought it up, Matt, is because when Tim was also recruiting, he'd go down to the L.A. area. Tim McDonald walks in the kid's living room.
Yeah.
And most of the kid, and he started recruiting. Have you ever noticed the defensive people that were coming over at the time were unbelievable? You get an NFL kid going to a kid's living room, they want to be played on
When you make your home visit and you have a Super Bowl championship ring on, you have a name because you're a six-time Pro Bowler, you've won Super Bowl, you've been a high-level top 100 player, this top 100 list stuff, potential Hall of Famer, by the way. I think you make an impact in the young man's life. And furthermore, when that kid who decides he wants to play defensive back for, let's say, the Bulldogs, those meetings and the time and the relationships you build with your players in the room that you coach, in that defensive back room, he was easily able to help Philip Thomas, the great athlete out of Bakersfield, who was an all-everything defensive safety for Fresno State. He was constantly, I watched it, leaning on Tim, but Tim, he wanted to ask Tim everything, and Tim knew how to navigate Philip to get to the NFL. Philip had to go play, had nothing to do with Tim, but he knew that he had a guy coaching him, his sidekick, his coach, who knew everything about the league, what he needs to look out for, how does he prepare his eyeballs, his mentality, if he wants to play in pro football one day. And that does not cost you any more money. That is not a budgetary item. That comes with experience, and there are several coaches out there, ex-college players that came from a big level that understand that. And to me, that does not cost an athletic department any more money to go after the big name. Just like when you and I threw out, I'll just throw this out, the last part I'm going to say on this, is you and I threw out these wacky ideas, and I remember when we went through basketball coach number one or two, and it was, well, why don't we just make a phone call to Rick Pitino? Well, first of all, it's going to cost us $10 million a year. No, it's not. Have me keeping up with current events. The guy's been in trouble with the NCAA. He's now run his course. Does he at least want to still coach? If Rick Pitino, I don't care if he had some stuff going on at Kentucky or whatever they caught him for. When he comes in your living room, just as when Coach Tarkanian came in your living room, next thing you know, we're playing in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That's how you get recruits. I'm sorry to tell you, that's a fact.
Well,
Fresno State went safe. I'm not going to beat this point up, but we went safe. We went safe. We got to go safe. We're coming off safe. We're Fresno State. We're trying to win titles and put you-know-whats in the seats. I'm not talking about go renegade outlaw and have guys with samurai swords that run around our streets. But you want to go get the team that's going to win? Coach Hutt's a very good coach. He doesn't have the players. They're not ready yet. How do you get the players? You got to go recruit them. Tark brought in the players. A Rick Pitino brings in the players. Nick Saban brings in players. Don't ever think that we're so small at Fresno that we can't aspire to be great. Go out and shake the tree down and go find that guy.
Well, if I'm a head coach wherever and I got an opportunity to get two or three ex-NFL players to walk in kids' living rooms, it's a no-brainer to me.
Somehow, this is what I truly believe happens. At all levels. And we're not talking Fresno State now. We're talking any school because I've been in it. Yeah, but what's his background? Well, played in the league for 14 years, Pro Bowls. Yeah, but what's his coaching background? Because, you know, a great play, I get it. But who makes all the best assistant coaches? Ex-players, big-time players. They don't necessarily make the great head coach.
Yeah.
But you find me the greatest staffs in the world in the NFL. Oh, isn't that Mean Joe Green? Yeah, he runs their defensive line now. They're not necessarily head coaches. Those are automatic
slam dunks
in the world because you have to understand the kids we're working with now. They look, because of social media, where did you play? A Carroll State. Who are they? You've lost credibility. Where did you play? I won two national championships as a corner for Alabama. Ooh, this coach got some titles. Automatically, you win the room over. That's just the way it is. I'm not trying to tell anything that no one doesn't know, but for these Mickey Mouse people I've never heard of that get the job, well, you know, he was a GA, he did all the steps. I get it. But sometimes you got to let the coach step over all the normal steps because he was in the league, i.e., I'm bragging about Corey Hall right now. How in the world could Corey Hall, maybe he did, maybe they didn't have a, I don't know. I wasn't there. Why am I saying this? But how, I thought it was a slam dunk Corey Hall would be coaching for the Bulldogs. I really did. Running the secondary, doing whatever, I don't know.
I totally agree with that, Matt.
You get why Corey Hall's not at USC? I don't know.
You get a chance to get a guy like Corey Hall, Lorenzo Neal. You get somebody like that, an ex-Bulldog who played in the league.
Didn't we have the staff?
Yeah.
Call Trent Dilfer. Let him work our quarterbacks.
David Carr.
Kalen can run the offense. Yeah. I love Kalen DeBoer. And I love all of his coaches. Yeah. I'm not knocking those coaches. Yeah. They're all probably great coaches.
Well, we're talking about recruiting now.
I'm talking about how do you get the program to get out of the whatever you're trying to think we're in right now, i.e. enthusiasm to buy tickets, ticket sales. Bring in Lorenzo Neal. He's my new running backs coach. I don't know. Is that too much to ask? I don't understand how you and I get laughed at by people on our own air about that'll never happen. Well, I don't know. Why will that never happen? I don't know if it's like you'll never make that sale. Well, I got to ask for the order, don't I? I have to ask for the order. Don't assume that we can't do things like that in this town. I think we can.
I think we need a spark.
Definitely need a spark.
Well, I want to thank Bobby Boy back in the studio. We're going to head over. We're going to get the ESPN limousine. Head over to Clovis West now at 7 o'clock or maybe a little before. Clovis West, Buchanan Boys Basketball. We'll have it on the air. I want to thank Rex Wonderdog Hudler for coming on today. Nick, the Big Cat Anderson's out at Clovis West. Bonnie, the Chicos, and the group. I want to thank everyone for hanging out at the Zone. Have a great weekend, everybody. Remember, Fresno State, what time's tomorrow, Bobby Boy? Are they coming on? 5:15, Fresno State. Paul Leffler will have the call with Coach Q. So go Dogs. We'll see you. We'll be in about an hour. We'll be at Clovis West. You've been listening to 940 ESPN. Your Central Section sports leader, as Matt Johnson says, get in the game. No.